This is Maggie Jones in Natural Wonders. I'm going to talk today about a beautiful small turtle, a box turtle, the ornate box turtle. They're the only completely upland turtle we have here in Wisconsin. They prefer hot, dry conditions in open prairies and oak savannas, and they need loose soil so they can dig down for cooling during the heat of the day and to lay their eggs and to hibernate deep enough that winter temperatures don't cause them to freeze. Here in Wisconsin, this might be around 3 feet deep. Ornates are omnivorous. They eat beetles, grasshoppers, caterpillars, slugs, carrion, berries, prickly pear cactus, and other tender, juicy plants. Fruits and plants provide these semi-desert-like turtles with valuable water. They don't become sexually mature until they're at least 10 years old. They must survive a long time before they can reproduce, and they only lay about 3 to 4 eggs. Compare this to snapping turtles that lay upwards of 50 eggs. They mate in spring and lay their eggs in fall. They tend to return to the same area each year to lay their eggs. They have been documented to live more than 57 years. And I know this is completely subjective, but they are a beautiful turtle. They are at most 4 to 5 inches in length. They have a domed upper shell or carapace with bright yellow markings radiating from the upper edges of each section or scute, like tiny fireworks streaking across their backs. Their plastron or underside is a rich brown color with numerous scattered yellow rays. The plastron is hinged, allowing the front and back sections to close tightly against the underside of the upper domed carapace. This feature gives the box turtle its name. And there's a great website I want to talk to you about, turtlesfortomorrow.org. Turtles for Tomorrow is a great group of people passionate about keeping these wonderful animals with us here in Wisconsin. And I'm going to read from the website about the work they've been doing for decades to keep these turtles and other rare turtles alive and reproducing successfully, and making sure that isolated populations are brought together to increase the genetic diversity of the entire population and habitat that is sustainable. Bob Hay is the director of Turtles for Tomorrow. His bio reads, reptile and amphibian conservation specialist and retired Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources herpetologist. Bob has had a keen interest in reptiles and amphibians since he was a young child, subjecting his mother to many scary occasions as he came home with the next surprise. His love for these underdog animals, as he often refers to them, led him to attend UW-Stevens Point, where he majored in natural resources management. For 15 years after college, Bob spent much of his free time studying herptiles in the wild and conducting voluntary educational programs in schools and other venues around Wisconsin. His voluntary work with the DNR's Bureau of Endangered Resources eventually led to his hiring as the state's first herpetologist, where he spent nearly 19 years working on the conservation and recovery of the state's 10 endangered and threatened herptiles. Bob has co-authored several small books on Wisconsin's native amphibians and reptiles. His passion for turtles has led to the development of recovery strategies for ornate box turtles and wood turtles. While working at the DNR, he managed these recovery efforts and has been actively and intimately involved with their implementation since retiring in 2009. Bob has a small army of volunteers that assist with these recovery efforts each year. And the co-director of Turtles for Tomorrow is Rebecca Christoffel. Perhaps you've been to one of the many field trips or programs that Rebecca has done out here in southwest Wisconsin. She received her bachelor's and master's degrees in wildlife ecology from the University of Wisconsin-Madison and her PhD in fisheries and wildlife from Michigan State University. She studied the human dimensions of rare snake conservation, particularly the eastern Massasauga rattlesnake and the timber rattlesnake in the upper Midwest. She founded Snake Conservation Society Incorporated, a 501c3, in 2013, and Christoffel Conservation, a for-profit business, in 2015. Prior to this, Rebecca was an assistant professor and extension wildlife biologist at Iowa State University. She has worked in habitat management, wildlife education and outreach, and conservation for the past 25 years, much of that time in Wisconsin. She co-authored 4 identification guides to Midwest reptiles and amphibians and has authored many magazine, journal, and newsletter articles. She has conducted several research and conservation projects on Wisconsin's reptiles and amphibians, including timber rattlesnakes, ornate box turtles, Blanding's turtles, and northern cricket frogs. Snake Conservation Society, Inc. is dedicated to changing the image of snakes in people's imaginations and in promoting the conservation of snakes through educational outreach and interpretation. Christoffel Conservation focuses on the conservation and management of local reptiles and amphibians and their habitats. And I'll be reading more about what they're doing right now. From the website, the part under Current Projects, I will read about the ornate box turtle and what they're doing. The ornate box turtle was listed as an endangered species in October 1972. Since its listing, the Wisconsin DNR and the Nature Conservancy began to acquire lands that were suitable for this species or that had the potential to be restored. This turtle has a unique and highly specialized habitat requirement that allows the turtle to survive at this latitude. That habitat is called dry sand prairie, the majority of which is associated with the lower Wisconsin River floodplain and adjacent southerly exposed bluffs. Here, deep sand deposits have created the opportunity for this terrestrial turtle to overwinter successfully, since they must burrow deep enough in the sand to avoid freezing in winter. The turtle is unable to dig effectively in denser soils, which has significantly restricted its range in Wisconsin to these sandy habitats. Colder winters in central and northern Wisconsin have limited it from ranging further north, despite the availability of sandy soils. Dry sand prairie is very well drained and supports one of Wisconsin's 2 cactus species, the prickly pear cactus. In the early decades of Wisconsin's history, settlers and subsequent farmers attempted to grow crops on these prairies, but in most years the crops failed due to the dry conditions. Many of these sites had been disturbed but began to revert to sand prairie when farming efforts failed. Many referred to this habitat at the time as wasteland, since it had no agricultural value. However, in the 1950s, the practice of planting pine plantations started to occur on this wasteland habitat, and the land increased in economic value. In 1948, center pivot irrigation was invented, and its use started to become more widespread in Wisconsin during the 50s and 60s. Much of the remaining dry prairie was rapidly converted to productive agricultural land for corn, potatoes, and soybeans. By the mid-1960s, these changes had resulted in nearly complete conversion of the remaining dry sand prairie to productive ag and pine plantations. It wasn't until much of the land conversions had taken place that early conservationists noted the decline of species that were highly dependent on this unique habitat. Since that time, efforts to purchase and restore these rare and valuable habitats has occurred, and along with it, the preservation of many species that would have been lost without these efforts. The first ornate box turtle conservation program was developed and initiated by the DNR's Bureau of Endangered Resources in 1992. This recovery effort had 2 primary components: preserve the genetic diversity that was represented by the various small remnant populations of ornate box turtles in the state, and 2, develop and implement methods to rebuild populations. These methods involved 2 strategies, both of which were untested for this species. One strategy was translocation, moving turtles from one location to another, and the other was head starting, the captive hatching and rearing of turtles, and now about translocations of these turtles within the state of Wisconsin. The preservation of genetics proved to be a difficult challenge, as most of the remnant populations occurred on small patches of dry prairie, primarily on private lands. A landowner contact program was initiated in 1992 to determine where ornate box turtles were still persisting and evaluate the habitats it was using. This work was limited to habitats where landowners were willing to allow us on their properties. In most cases, these prairie remnants were quite small, just several acres, and did not have the potential to be expanded because of competing land use practices. It became apparent that the only way to salvage the genetics that each of these small populations contained was to translocate the turtles to a larger parcel of dry prairie. A dry prairie site that no longer supported ornate box turtles was selected in southwest Wisconsin to be the recipient home for the translocated turtles. In order to maintain them on the recipient site, an enclosure was constructed that was large enough to contain the various microhabitats that the species required. And I know from reading elsewhere that that enclosure was a little over 6 acres. We then began the translocation efforts. During the summer of 1992, 20 adult and subadult ornate box turtles were moved to the enclosure from a handful of private landowner sites. These turtles were held in the enclosure for one season and overwintered on the site. In 1993, 10 of these turtles, 5 males and 5 females, were fitted with radio transmitters. They were released outside the enclosure to determine what they would do, focusing on whether they would stay on site or attempt to return to their natal site. 50% of the turtles stayed on site for the summer, but the other 50% left the site in a variety of directions. These 5 that attempted to stray from the site were returned to the enclosure, where they were maintained for another year. After their second year of being held in the enclosure, they were again fitted with transmitters and released outside the enclosure. That year, all of the turtles remained on site. The following year, we began to release some of the other enclosed turtles at the site in order for them to carry out their natural life histories, establishing home ranges and breeding and so on. Within 2 years, we noted our first wild-produced hatchling ornate box turtles at this site. Over the course of several years, 42 ornate box turtles were translocated to the enclosure from remnant sites across southern Wisconsin. Each was held in the enclosure for 2 years or more before being released on the recipient site. Today, we have a small adult population at this site with some evidence of recruitment. The translocation work had another aspect that turned out to be a real eye-opener. A grad student at UW-Madison Zoology Department collected an additional 20 ornate box turtles from 3 states, northern Texas, central Kansas, and northern Nebraska. These turtles were from the western range of the species. They were brought to the same recipient site in southwest Wisconsin, but were quarantined in a different enclosure to minimize the risk of disease transmission and to prevent any foreign genetics from entering the native Wisconsin population. These turtles were held in the enclosure for up to 8 years. During the first 3 years, all of the turtles from the 2 southern populations died, presumably due to being unable to withstand the significant climate change, moving farther north from where they were originally collected. The northern Nebraska turtles were maintained for 8 years in the enclosure. However, despite maintaining good body weight and apparent health, none of the females produced a single egg in 8 seasons. This made it clear that if we were going to recover ornate box turtles in Wisconsin, we had to do it with the existing Wisconsin populations. Translocation from out of state was no longer an option. And this next section is about head starting of young turtles. Head starting of turtles began with egg collection from wild females or their nests. The eggs were incubated at 80 degrees to produce a 50-50 sex ratio, similar to the ratio found in many wild turtle populations. Hatchlings were captive-reared for a period of 10 to 11 months. The purpose of head starting was to grow turtles to a point where they were far less susceptible to predators. Turtles were fed an extremely protein-rich food daily to maximize their growth. This speed growing can also significantly reduce the time it takes to reach sexual maturity. For example, in Wisconsin, it takes 12 to 16 years for ornate box turtles to mature. Maturity in reptiles is primarily achieved by reaching a certain size and is not age dependent. Head starting of an ornate box turtle often results in hatchlings reaching the equivalent size of 5 to 6 year olds in 10 to 11 months. This reduces the time to maturity for individuals by several years and also improves their survival chances upon release. Results of head starting typically show a first season survival rate of over 90%, far above what experts believe is the case for the first year wild hatched turtles. Wisconsin initiated the head starting program experimentally in 1994, and by 1996, working with the Milwaukee County Zoo, developed a methodology that consistently produces healthy and large juvenile turtles. The head-started turtles have been used to rebuild 7 ornate box turtle populations in Wisconsin, including the mixed population that was salvaged from our translocation work to preserve genetic diversity. The Milwaukee County Zoo, the Racine Zoo, the Henry Vilas Zoo, along with more than a dozen private citizens, raised over 1,200 ornate box turtles for release in Wisconsin. This head-starting program achieved its first milestone in 2012, reaching the final year for head-starting for 4 of the 7 sites. Unfortunately, head-starting was terminated in 2013 by the DNR. This has left 3 populations with a very uncertain future. A little more information on temperature-dependent sex determination. Most Wisconsin turtles have temperature-dependent sex determination. Average incubation temperatures above 80 degrees produce more females, and temperatures below 80 degrees produce more males. Incubation temperatures above 86 can be lethal to turtles from the upper Midwest, while incubation temperatures in the low 70s or cooler often result in all-male clutches with poor fitness, or the embryos die prior to hatching. Some turtle populations have a skewed sex ratio where vehicle road mortality takes out a disproportionate number of reproductive-aged females. Female turtles often travel overland to suitable nesting sites, and vehicle mortality can significantly impact populations, especially for endangered or threatened species. And then a section on management of dry sand prairies. Ornate box turtles face another potentially serious threat in Wisconsin. Exotic or invasive plants such as spotted knapweed and black locust threaten the suitability of the dry prairie habitat or its structure. Spotted knapweed is an allelopathic plant that produces biochemical toxins in the soil that impedes competition by native species. While research has not been done to look at its direct impact on the turtles, personal observation indicates that ornate box turtles purposefully avoid areas where this plant dominates, and they have not been observed to nest among this plant in Wisconsin. This invasive species spreads by seed and can quickly overtake a dry prairie if not aggressively managed to remove it or control its spread. All 7 of Wisconsin's managed ornate box turtle populations are currently being threatened by this plant species. Hand pulling and careful use of specific sand-safe herbicides are required to control this species. Black locust is a tree species native to the east central United States, but that has been introduced to the northern states via plant nurseries. This species is clonal, sending out lateral shoots which produce more trees at the clone's periphery. Clones rapidly spread, shading out the native plant species while rendering the habitat unsuitable for most of the prairie's fauna, including ornate box turtles. These two species currently pose the greatest threat to Wisconsin's dry prairies and the species that are dependent on this rare natural community. I want to wrap up and end by saying that I've only read a small part of the turtlesfortomorrow.org website. There's such wonderful work being done by these people. There's an extensive section on the work they've been doing with wood turtles and with Blanding's turtles. This is one of those websites where you're really glad to know about it and can go back frequently to learn more. And I know they would appreciate any support you can give them. And remember, you can go to WDRT.org to see all of my programs archived under podcasts. This is Maggie Jones and Natural Wonders. Thank you for listening.